Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today, we chat with Mark Herdering, author of Hanging Out for a Living. Mark says by giving service unselfishly to others, that you get referrals and volume. Now, you may think that sounds good, or maybe not even possible. Well, it's not only possible, but Mark has been doing it for 10 years. And we're going to learn all about that next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures at TonyDURSO.com. With us, we have Mark Herdering, author of Hanging Out for a Living. After years of struggling in traditional sales, Mark built a business that reached $1 million in annual revenue in less than 3 years on a 93-cent per unit item. And that was using a unique referral action plan. Now, his extensive networking ability has driven his professional accomplishments and has expanded his career portfolio to wearing the hats of speaker, writer, and business connector. Mark shares his passion for sharing the formula for building business by referral in his first book, Hanging Out for a Living. And that is a business fable about the philosophy, art, and strategy for building a referral-based business. Mark has been an independent business owner with SendNowCards.com since April 2005, where he serves as an executive marketing distributor. And so it is with great pleasure that I introduce Mark Herdering. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you so much for being on our show. It's a pleasure and an honor to have someone like you with us today.
Well, thank you very much, and it's a relief that you can hear me.
Yes, that's always a good relief. And speaking of hearing, your new book, well, not quite new, but your book, Hanging Out for a Living, is remarkable, and I highly recommend if someone's going to get it, to get the audio, because you can hear the different personalities involved in the book. Mark and I think someone else does a lot of narration and different...
Actually, I'm the only one that does it, Tony.
You're the only one. Well, you sound like different people.
All of those characters, yes.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, Mark is different people, and it's a really good to hear the audio version. I would love it. Hanging Out for a Living. So, Mark...
Well, thank you, Brian.
Sure. You know, first question I'd like to ask you, which is the transition effort. For example, how did a guy who never finished high school and he spent the first part of his adult life as a welder and metal fitter, which, by the way, makes a lot of money, makes a good living. How did that type of a person transition to generating $1 million in annual revenue in the sales and distribution business model?
You know, Tony, it really had to do with feeling very, very trapped working as a welder and metal fitter. And although I really did enjoy that work, that was something that I did. I was brought up doing that through my pop, who was not my biological father, but he was somebody that was very close to me. And so I did that with him for a number of years. And then I moved on to companies like Rockwell International and was working with, you know, bosses and had to punch a time clock. And I'm really not wired to be stuck in that sort of an environment. So when I got laid off from Rockwell in 1991 and in the San Fernando Valley, I had a bit of an epiphany. And that epiphany was probably related to my Catholic upbringing. And it had to do with, you know, me being at the end of my life and, you know, being at the pearly gates and St. Peter going over my chart and commenting that, you know, I had been given this life and I sold it off for $20 an hour, which is what I was making back in 1991. And that was good money back then. And I just knew that I was destined for something better. I was put on this earth to do something more than sell my life off by the hour, which is what I had been doing. So I got this entrepreneurial bug and I tried various pursuits. You know, one was real estate investing, and I actually accidentally fell into a deal that made me some money, made me just enough money to get me in a lot of trouble. And got into some other deals, and then the 1994 earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, pretty much threw me into a bankruptcy. And
I was in
from,
that one too.
That was a scary one. It was probably my third really big earthquake. And but that was the first one that ever damaged me financially. And it was from that that I ended up going back to work as a welder and a metal fitter, and then discovered the idea of network marketing, which is a fascinating concept to me, and fell into a company that I worked at for 8 years. I never made a cent, and then that company ultimately went bankrupt. And then it was I started selling Yellow Pages advertising. I became quite ill and suffering from really severe migraine headaches. And so I had to get medical insurance at that time, and this was probably 2002. I went through a training in Fresno, California with this company, and they told me exactly how to sell Yellow Pages advertising. And, Tony, I followed their instructions to the letter. And they put me in the San Fernando Valley. It was actually San Fernando and San Gabriel Valley at that time, the Eagle Rock, Pasadena, Glendale area. And they had me go door-to-door carrying a briefcase and a very, very large Yellow Pages, which was the San Fernando Valley Yellow Pages, which, as I recall, weighed about 25 pounds. And I would walk through people's door, and as soon as they saw me, they would just look at me and say, whatever you're selling, we don't want it.
Wow.
And I became extraordinarily discouraged. About 60 days into a 90-day probationary period, my boss called me into the office. And she was quite blunt, and she says, you haven't made a single sale, and you've only got 30 days left on your probation. So the chances of you hitting your revenue goal, which was $155,000, by the way, in annual revenue, she says the chances of you hitting that revenue goal. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so far, everything you're saying is exactly as per the book, as per the story. It's just amazing, you know, what you sold in the book, while it's a business fable. It's very, very true, because the deadlines you had, the sales, the what you had to accomplish, what you were selling Yellow Page ad, mm-hmm. everything exactly per the book.
Well, Tyler is sort of based on me, so yes, everything in the book did actually happen. But it's a business fable, so that it would be a lot more interesting than my actual journey. But in any case, she said, you know, she asked me to quit, and. They were paying me a $500 a week salary. So if I stuck it out for another month, that's at least a couple of $1,000. And I was desperately broke at the time. The number one thing is I had to get the medical insurance. These migraine headaches were just horrific. And I was getting them four and five times a week. They were just crippling. And they put me on a medicine, Imitrix, which cost $25 a pill. And it was very difficult to afford that. So I figured I'll stick it out for another month. But since they were going to fire me anyway, my thinking was, you know, they'd probably fire a guy a lot sooner for not making any sales than they would a guy who doesn't follow the dress code. And I just took a look at what it is that I had been doing and how I was showing up at people's, you know, doors of their business. And I just thought, I'm going to change my approach. I'm going to be the person that I would want to see walk through the front door, as opposed to the person that the Yellow Page company said I had to be. So I took off my took off my tie. I rolled up my shirt sleeves. I left all the garbage in my car. I left the Yellow Pages. I left my sales binder and briefcase. I left that in the car. And I went into my territory, and instead of walking in with all of that stuff, I would just walk into somebody's door, and I simply asked the question, can I get your business card? And Tony, up to that point, everybody had thrown me out of their door. But when I started just walking in, being myself, and simply asking for people's business card, I didn't get a single no to that question. Everybody happily gave me their business card. So I would look at their business card, and if their name was Tony, I would just look at it and say, hey, are you Tony? They'd say, yeah. I'd say, great. Hey, Tony, I'm expanding my business into the neighborhood, and I'm looking for other business owners to network with, and I'm wondering if you'd be open to scheduling a time to grab coffee and let's just see how it is that, you know, we might network together. I'd love to find out who it is that you're looking to attract in your business. I'd love to share with you, if you're open to listening, who it is I'm looking to attract with mine. And you know, that was basically my conversation with them. And I would say probably 40 to 50% of people were very receptive to that idea. And we just schedule a time and I would swing back by, or we'd go meet at a coffee shop and we would just hang out. We would have a conversation. And that conversation, I just became really curious about people. I'm fascinated with people's stories. Like, how did you end up in this business? How did you get started? And then I would start asking him questions like, well, what's the biggest challenge that you had getting started in this business? And what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened? I'd hear these wonderful stories. And I started asking questions like, who would be an ideal client for you? And so they would tell me who it is that they were trying to attract. And as I started having these conversations with people, I became better at asking these questions because I realized I could get really good information on my own by finding out about people. And I discovered something that I didn't really know that many people that were looking for somebody in particular's service. There was one incident that it's actually described in the book. I walked into a medical supply shop, very sweet Armenian couple. It was a father and a daughter, and they were actually in Eagle Rock. And we had a wonderful conversation after they just stuffed me with food. And they were describing to me the kind of people that they were looking for, and they were really looking for individuals that were at home that needed medical supplies delivered to them. And I didn't have anybody in my circle of influence that needed that, but on my rounds, I came across an in-home nursing care facility that was in the Verdugo Hills. I very specifically remember they were right off of the two, right there in the Verdugo Hills. And I met a gal there, and she was the executive director for this outfit. It's in the book, it's a guy, but in reality, it was a gal. And she and I had this conversation and about what they were looking for and you know, the kind of services they provided. And I said to her, I've met this really sweet couple not too far from here. They have a medical supply shop, and they are looking to they're looking for clients that they can deliver supplies to. And she says, that sounds like somebody I would like to meet. So I made that introduction, and they absolutely hit it off. And Nadia and nice. Anton, that was their names. They actually ended up signing a contract with that company. And apparently it was quite a substantial contract. And I can't even begin to tell you how that made me feel when I got that phone call from Nadia telling me, the difference that I had made. And they did ultimately end up buying a very small ad from me. It was a very small, it was a bold listing, but it was something. And that happened several times within a period of just a few weeks, like 3 weeks. People started introducing me and I started introducing them. I was absolutely shocked at how well this was going. And believe it or not, it was Nadia and Anton. They were the ones who introduced me to a personal injury attorney who was based in Woodland Hills, California. And that attorney, just to shorten the story, that attorney ultimately ended up buying full page ads and back covers in 5 Yellow Page directories. And it was that one sale. That one sale generated $147,000 in revenue. My revenue goal was $155,000. And with some other sales I had made, I went from absolutely zero in revenue. And in 30 days, I beat my quota by several hundred dollars. And much to the dismay, by the way, of my then manager, because I think she really did want to get rid of me. And so I had, and what seemed like magically, hit this goal in less than 30 days. But the lesson that I learned, and quite honestly, if you think about it, it's a little bit freaky that it happened that way, because I've never had a hit like that since. But the idea is that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been out there focusing my attention on others and what it is that they needed. Before thinking about my own needs. And it was just from making that shift that things absolutely changed for me.
That is an absolutely incredible story, Mark. But you had some help. Come on, in the book you had some help. So who helped you in real life come up with this? Because when you read the book, everyone, you'll know what I'm talking about. The business philosophy and the points brought in the book are truly brilliant, and I can see how, as magical as it is, I can see how you would accomplish that. But that is amazing, and accomplishing that goal in 30 days. But did you have a mentor or someone, like in the book, Tyler, the character in the book, had a mentor who's amazing, and did you have anyone help you or advise you? Because here you are, 30 days left before you're going to get canned, and you just switched. What clicked off? What made that happen?
Me being in a place of absolute desperation, and there's an old saying, if what you're doing isn't working, try anything else. that's what I did. No, there wasn't really any, there was nobody who told me what to do. I, you know, Oscar in the book is, he's a fictional character, but he's based on my pop. My pop passed away back in 1989 and he was a welder. Yeah, he didn't actually become somebody who taught me how to build a referral-based business, but he was excellent fodder for a character in my book.
That is brilliant. So now what led you to write a book? I understand that you've worked, you got that sale. How did the book happen?
You know, that's a fun story. So I got started with sendoutcards.com in April of 2005, and I'll tell you why I got started with that. It is a network marketing company, and at that time, I swore to myself I was never going to get involved with network marketing again. I'd spent 8 years with a company and lost money over the years, never really made any money with it, and I believed in that dream of leveraged income. But when that company went bankrupt, and they actually went bankrupt while I was in the hospital, I had suffered from these severe migraine headaches. Well, they did ultimately find out what the cause was. And that, by the way, is detailed in the book. So I won't get into it here as to what it is.
So that's true. So the actual cause that was in the book, that was all true.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That diagnosis, all of that is actually, yeah, that's real. So I came out of this surgery and I called a buddy of mine, a very good friend of mine, Jordan Adler, who also has written a book, and I would strongly recommend anybody who's involved in network marketing read the book. But if you're in sales as well, I think you'd find it very helpful. And the book's called Beach Money, and the author's name is Jordan Adler. So I had called him. He'd been a friend of mine for a number of years, and I just called him up to see what he was up to. And he got me on my computer and walked me through sending a greeting card to a gal who's a friend of mine, and you know, he said she's really going to get this card, so make it a heartfelt message, and I put a heartfelt message in there. And when I got done with the card, you know, he showed me how to put a picture of us in there, and then I hit the send button, and it said your card is on its way, and he told me that this would cost about $1. And he gave this account to me for free, and I was totally unimpressed because, you know, I don't do e-cards, and why would I spend $1 on something that I could do through a company like Blue Mountain for free? Well, about 3 days later, the phone rings, and it's Jolene, and she was just in tears, telling me this was the sweetest thing that she'd ever seen, and, you know, how did I do this? And I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. And then later that day, a couple of greeting cards showed up in the mail from Jordan, and they were in his writing with his signature, but it was obvious that he hadn't actually done this, and they had a first-class stamp on it. I called him up. I said, dude, this is cool. How did you do this? And he said, I just showed you this the other day. And I just hadn't made that connection that it was an actual physical greeting card. And then when he told me that could be done for about $1, all I could think of was how I could have used that as a tool when I was selling the Yellow Pages. In that particular industry, you work a campaign, you work a territory. You sign somebody on a contract, you get their money, and you're pretty much done with them until the following year when it's time to renew their ad. Well, the problem with that is that it becomes very transactional. You have no relationship with people. So the only time they see you is when you come with your hand out, for, you know, looking for more money. Well, with a tool like this, all I could think of was this would maintain the relationship in a really personal and authentic way. And I just started thinking about all of the industries that could use something like this. And my head just started spinning. And so I said, Jordan, I've got to do this. So I started building that business and doing it very much like I had started selling the Yellow Pages, with one exception. With the Yellow Pages, I was mandated to go bang on doors, and I did not want to do that again. So what I did was I started networking. I joined an organization called BNI, which is Business Network International. BNI is all over the world, and you can find out about them at BNI.com. And I joined a chapter in Northridge, California. And then I started doing things like going to chambers of commerce, which in my past had not been very productive places to network, because I would show up and it would just be people who were trying to sell me their stuff. And there's nothing worse than going to a place where everybody's trying to sell something and nobody wants to buy anything. So most people don't like going to those kind of things. But because I had discovered this new approach about showing up in service to others, my whole world changed by going to those sort of events. I took interest in other people. And I discovered, Tony, that when you take a greater interest in other people than you have in telling them about yourself or trying to sell them something, you become a very, very interesting person to them. And so that's how I started operating. And I started building a pretty sizable little network down in Southern California. And it was great because I didn't have to tell people about me. They just started asking about me and what I was up to. And I would just say, hey, do you want to see something cool? And they'd say, sure. And then I would show them my send out cards business. I would have them send a heartfelt card to somebody that they cared about. And they would think it's really cool. But it wasn't until they got the response to that card that they'd sent that, you know, the magic really happened. And then so many of them wanted to sign up for send out cards. Some of them wanted to become distributors for send out cards. Many of them became referral sources for send out cards. But I discovered through this process that I really enjoyed hanging out with people and hearing their stories. So it just sort of built on my experience with the Yellow Pages. So here's how the book came about. One day I was meeting with a guy, and I very specifically remember his name is Jeff Levine, and this was in Culver City, California. And he was an executive coach to the entertainment industry. And I had met him at a networking event in West Los Angeles. And so we decided to hang out and have coffee, and we were at a coffee shop right across the street from Sony Studios. So we're having this conversation, and he says to me, Mark, I get your business. I just don't get how you make any money. And I said, what do you mean? I don't get it. He says, Mark, it's like you just hang out for a living. Like, how do you make money just hanging out for a living? So those words stuck in my head. And it was at that point, Tony, that I said to him, I hadn't really realized that I had codified something at that point. So what I told him was, let's take a look at your business. I told him my story. And here was the story that I told him, or the way I'd figured out the formula for myself. I decided that I had to be the solution to a problem, not the doer of a job. I was not in the greeting card business, and I didn't really feel like I was in the network marketing business either. I felt like that would sort of be an organic extension of what it is that I was doing, that would get built. What I did was I helped businesses remember their clients so their clients wouldn't forget about them. That was really where I felt that my strength was with this particular service. And so that's what I started promoting, was the ability to maintain customer relationships. And I told him, so I started thinking about, who would be an ideal client for this particular service? And at that time, what I came up with was residential realtors. But I wasn't looking for any residential realtor. I was being very, very specific. I was looking for the responsible party real estate broker of an office located in the San Fernando Valley that had been in business at least 10 years, was a member of the CRS, and required their agents to send out handwritten thank you cards. So I had developed a very specific ideal client. Now, would I take somebody else? Of course, but I got very focused on that very specific demographic. Now, I had no interest in going out and finding those people. My idea was that if I educated people about what it is I was looking for, they would introduce me to those people, but I had to educate the right people. So the question was, who, by nature of what they do, would have a network of responsible party real estate brokers located in the San Fernando Valley who required their agents to send out handwritten thank you cards? And I came up with the Real Estate Association. So I joined an organization called the Southland Regional Association of Realtors in Van Nuys, California, which happened to be where I lived at the time. And I was able to join there. As I recall, the fee was $80 at that time for me to join. And that put me in the midst of about 1,500 real estate brokers, but it also put me in the midst of mortgage brokers. You think of every kind of a field related to real estate, escrow, pest control,
appraisal.
What do they call those people that value houses?
Appraisal.
The appraisers. I was surrounded by people related to the real estate industry. So here I was able to find my exact client. But as a result of going after a very, very narrow target, I was able to bring in lots of other possibilities. And so I learned something by doing that. And one day I saw an ad in their association newsletter for Tom Hopkins. He was doing a real estate seminar, and I believe it was at the LA Convention Center. And again, this was back in 2005. So it's been quite a while, but there was a full page ad for something that he was doing, and it was being sponsored by, I believe, 7 different real estate associations. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm looking for Tommy Hopkins, because I knew that Tom Hopkins, by nature of what he does. And by the way, if you don't know who Tom Hopkins is, Tom Hopkins wrote a wonderful book many years ago called Mastering the Art of Selling. And in that book, he tells the story of how he sold 365 homes in his first 3 years in real estate. And this was in Simi Valley. And he said 98% of that was generated by referrals. And he attributed that success to the habit his mother got him into of sending out 10 handwritten thank you cards every single day. I had read that book. So when I saw this ad, all I could think of was, what I'm looking for is Tommy Hopkins, or the Tommy Hopkins of the world. Because Tom Hopkins, by nature of what he does, has a network of real estate associations all over the world who have a network of realtors that would use my service. So that was when I'd really come up with it, but I hadn't consciously realized it until Jeff had asked me this question. So what I did was I said, so Jeff, tell me who it is that you're, you know, so who's your ideal client? What's the problem that you solve? And I went through the same formula with him. And it was from that that he, you know, I just gave him the exact formula. We came up with his, and by the way, so that in the book, and when I speak, I also share this as well, that your ideal client, I like to refer to that as the golden egg. So would you rather have the golden egg or the goose that lays the golden egg? And of course, the answer is the goose.
Exactly.
And so the goose is that referral source, that person or entity who, by nature of what they do, would have a network of your ideal client. And ultimately, what you're looking for is the granny goose, that person or entity who, by nature of what they do, has a network of people, who have a network of people that would use your product or service. And so I shared that with Jeff, and it blew his mind. He says, you've got to come and share that. So I had never spoken about this up to that point. And Jeff said, you have got to come and share this with my business group. So I shared it with a business group in West LA. And somebody there said, Mark, you got to come and speak to my group. And so I just started speaking about it. And then I ended up here in Oregon. You know, once I was able to get my residual income to a point where I could just live off of it. But I loved the speaking. And I was contacted by the Hermiston, Oregon Chamber of Commerce. And they asked me to come and speak to them. And they were the first ones that ever offered to pay me for it. And so this little side career started. And then, you know, then 2008, 2009 came along. The economy collapsed. The speaking dried up quite a bit at that point, but I was doing okay. So the idea of this book popped into my head, and that title rolled around in my head. And one day I was stood up. I was supposed to be meeting somebody for tea at a place called the Tea Zone in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon. I was stood up, and I just sat there with a couple of hours to kill, and I looked up, and I saw what ultimately turned out to be a Moroccan teapot. I asked the owner about it. His name is Grant, and asked him how much it would cost, and he said $49.95. I really had no interest in the teapot. I just thought it was weird looking. And when he told me that it was $49.95, I did not buy it, by the way. No,
oh,
I didn't.
Oh.
But I saw it there, and this whole story flooded into my mind. And so with that 2 hours, I cranked out what ultimately became the first 2 chapters of the book. And, but it did take close to 5 years to write the book. Now I do have the teapot. So Jordan Adler, who I mentioned earlier in this tale I've been telling, Jordan came up here and visited me in Portland. I took him to the Tea Zone, and so he bought me that teapot. And, so that teapot, anytime I speak, that teapot goes with me. And, in fact, just before you and I were having this conversation, I was having lunch with a couple of bankers from U.S. Bank who asked me to come hang out. And so they said, hey, we want to buy your book. And so we went into the back of my car. There's always books in the trunk of my car. And we had to lift the teapot out because it was sitting on top of the books. And they were, of course, fascinated that there was actually a teapot.
And Oscar didn't mind being shuffled around, huh?
No, Oscar is out and about. If you read the story, you know that Oscar is now out exploring the 21st century.
That is correct. I tell you, listening to that audio version, Oscar makes a very strong impression with me, and the information in that book, Hanging Out for a Living, which, by the way, everyone, The website is hangingoutforaliving.com. And I highly encourage you to get the audio. You can get the other book too, what the hardcover or the paperback, the mm-hmm. trade paperback. I got the audio, and we both enjoyed it, reading it in our way. So get
and,
both.
And if I may, Tony, so for you, the audiobook resonated. I got to tell you, it's a 50-50 split. There are people who much more enjoy the physical book than the audio. Some people just have, I would suggest that you're probably just a very auditory person, because some people really find the actual book far better for them than the book. I've had people buy my book after they bought the audio because they had a hard time focusing. They'd be in the car listening to it, and something in the book would trigger a thought process, and they'd go off and thought, and then they'd lost track of the story. My personal opinion on this is that I think the book is best experienced if you read the physical book and then listen to the audio. That would, if I were going to recommend to somebody how to do it. But again, if you're an auditory person and you listen to audiobooks, then buy the audiobook because that's probably the best way to go. And if you're somebody who reads physical books or Kindle, because it's also available on Kindle, you know, you can do it that way.
Yeah, Mark, my wife loved the physical book. And incidentally enough, though we have different schedules and different times we have available or we're not working, regardless of that, as we progress, we both wound up being very close to the same parts as while she was reading it and I would be listening to it while I'm even driving or whatever. And it was very interesting that we would say, how far did you get? Oh, I got this far. Oh, I got that far. We were periodically getting ahead of each other, but we both finished the book approximately the same time. So it's very mm-hmm. interesting.
Cool.
Just loved it. Absolutely
cool.
Loved it. But for me, Oscar has made a definite impression. And I think of the wisdom that has come from that. And it's very nice for you to create a separate character because that wisdom now, when you hear Oscar, you pay extra attention because you go, okay, here come some gems. Here comes something I can use. And that information in the book on hanging out for a living truly works, is really, you have a very good slant and way of looking at it. I've done a lot of sales over my time, which is a separate story, a lot by referral, a lot. But I never hung out for a living. And you have a nice, good slant and way to do it, which really, really works.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I am not suggesting, and nor is the book suggesting, that the only way to go out and build business is by referral. But I absolutely know for a fact that anybody who applies what's in that book, and I did my very, very best to make it so that when you read the book, you got everything. In other words, you wouldn't have to buy some additional product. I wanted the whole thing to be right there because my goal is that when I leave this earth, I've left something behind where I've made a real difference. So if somebody reads that book and they want to take that material and they want to, you know, go do a course on it, God bless them. If I can make that kind of difference and know that I was able to create that, that would be fantastic. But the idea in the book really is that we can make this world a much, much better place by being less transactional and by being more relational. So that's why in the story itself, there's several lessons that have to do with the mechanics of building business by referral or you know, relationship marketing might be another way of saying it. But the first and most important lesson, which is repeated throughout the book, is that it's only possible to hang out for a living if one does so in service to others. So I wanted to create something that really brought home the idea that anything that we do has to be about serving people. And if you read any of the great books on building wealth, whether it's Think and Grow Rich or, you know, any of the other classics like that, there's one main principle that has to do with figuring out a way to serve as many people as possible. And that's
so
how one
true.
Really generates wealth. And but that word service means a great deal to me because I'm somebody who has been sold to and usually regretted it. And I'm somebody who has been served. And when I've been served, I've never felt like I've overspent. In fact, I've always felt like I, you know, would gladly spend more. And there's a big difference there. And I think most people are the same way.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I hate being sold. And I love it when I'm helped and aided. And able to get what I want. That way, there was a time I was buying a new car. I was buying a brand new Mercedes. I had it ordered. I had everything. I went down. I was just trying to just go pick it up. But the salesman, he was so dead set on selling me. It was aggravating. I spent like 2 hours, and I'm just trying to buy the car. I've already picked it out. I want it. It's done. But no, he had to sell me. And it was such a problem that I never went back to that dealership again and bought many more cars afterwards. But it's just
right.
And I talk about this in my book as well, but there's a point where that a salesperson must recognize when the other person, the person wants your product, wants your service and says, I would like this. How do I get it? There's a point there where it's time to stop selling, in quotes, and pull all the paperwork and say, here you go. Here's how you get this product. Here's how you get this service.
Right.
And it would be great for salesmen to learn that there is this point. It's like a wave. There's a wave of interest, and there's a wave when a person's at the top of the wave, they're ready for it. You don't have to keep selling.
You're absolutely right. And I think one of the ways that we can get to that point with people, and you talk about this in your book, and you say it very, very well, is that what is your purpose? I mean, how is it that you're really – you don't quite say the word service, but you really talk about what is it that you're trying to create? And I'm going to use the word service here, but if you know what it is that you're trying to create with somebody, then you can get off of that idea about selling, because what you're doing is you're trying to create an end result for somebody. And that to me is what real sales is that we're trying to serve people in the best way that we possibly can. And when we do that in the right way, where we leave people better than they were before they met with us, that's going to cause word to get out that we are the kind of people that people want to do business with.
So true. There's, you know, the Bernie Madoff. You've seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street. There is that method of selling, which is just get the money any which way, lie any way you can, just get the money. That's very, very short-lived, and it's very booby-trapped and comes with lots of problems.
Right. Well, the challenge the challenge with that, Tony, is that's almost a meme now in our society, because that's the way Hollywood portrays sales. And there really are. Here's the truth. We do live in a society where it's all about sales and marketing. But I got to be honest. I think most of us have a very low a BS alarm that goes off, and I think that most people are sophisticated enough now where we know when we're being BS'd. In fact, there's things that trigger my BS alarm. Buy today and we'll double your order is a BS alarm for me. Anytime somebody uses words like infused with, these are marketing terms, and my BS meter goes off. Anything that says all natural, I don't believe it. I know there's nothing natural about it, because that's not a regulated term. So we all have this BS meter that goes off. But if you're truly authentic, you get completely past, you don't set that off with people when you're truly authentic, and you can't fake being authentic. If you do fake it and you can get away with it, you're not going to get away with it for very long. And you're ultimately going to do far more damage than you will do good in the world. The point that I'm making here is that although it's ubiquitous, all of this marketing that surrounds us. We can't turn on our computer. We can't turn on our phone. We can't get in our car. We can't seem to go anywhere without all of these marketing messages. But the truth is that the people, the Bernie Madoffs of the world and people like that, yeah, they're out there. But they're relatively few and far between. They simply get all of the attention. And one of my mentors, the absolutely wonderful Jim Rohn, who passed away in 2009, he made a comment that I absolutely loved. He says, there's really only 10 really bad people in the world, but they get around a lot.
Interesting. There's for the actual bad people, I think it is a very small percentage, but then they affect
absolutely.
Another 20-odd percent are affected by them, which makes it seem like it's ubiquitous when it's not really.
It's really not, Eric.
One of my favorites is the very large sale. I was once trying to buy a very specific ring, a gold ring I wanted for something, and I went shopping with my wife. We went shopping over a period of time. You know, it was just, go out on the weekend, just trying to find this ring. And after about, and everywhere I went, the price was about $1,000. And I thought, you know, for that amount of gold and what I wanted, I'd like to get something better. So, and I didn't see the exact model, the band or whatever that I wanted exactly. And then after about 2 months, I went to a store, and it was a jeweler store, and it was 70% off everything. And I said, oh, great. I said, I'm going to get my ring here. So we go in. I found a ring that I could do with. What's the price? $1,000. I go, well, 70% off. Well, they had marked it up so high that by the time it went, it was 70% off.
Right.
It was the same price as everywhere else.
Which is why 70% off should be another trigger to your BS meter.
Absolutely. So I added that as a, exactly. I added that as a trigger. Yeah. When I see a big sale, I go, yeah, right. You just mark it up real high, and then it goes back to regular price when you buy it.
Yeah, and this was I struggled with this a little bit in my own career, that I started figuring all of this out, that I didn't want to show up with the expectation of making a sale, but I always wanted to be prepared to make a sale. And what I mean by that is when I hang out with somebody, I'm never looking at them as somebody's going to buy my service. But honestly, in my experience, I would say 99% of people that I do hang out with, I can't get out of that conversation without them asking me about me and what it is that I do. And at that point, I'll simply say, well, do you want to see something cool? And everybody says yes to that question. So then I've been invited to show them what it is that I do. And so, you know, with like my send out cards business, I just give them a free account and have them experience it. And then for those people for whom it's the right thing, they'll sign up for, you know, one thing or another. And for the rest, they really love the idea that this is this really cool service, and they know other people who could use it. So they then start telling me people that they could that I should contact, or who they can introduce me to, which is obviously the best way in the world for me for that to happen. Tony, every single day now, I receive referrals in that way. I get emails because I've instructed my network on how to refer business to me, which is and I say, can you please send an email with, you know, this person's, you know, please speak to them first. I don't want them to not be expecting my phone call. And I'm happy to reach out to them. If they want to reach out to me, by all means, give them my phone number. So send an email that CCs all of us in, and we're all getting the same message. You know, so it's going to be something like, Mark, my friend Bob is very interested in what you're up to, and I told him about your service. And by the way, here's something about Bob you need to know, and they'll give me Bob's website so I get to find out about Bob. And then I pick up the phone and I'll call Bob and I say, hey, Bob, our mutual friend Mary said that we need to get together. And what do you say we set a time to grab coffee? And that's pretty much what, I mean, that's just a process that happens for me every single day.
If anyone in the audience would like to know more about Mark's business, Send Out Cards, I'm going to tell you a little bit of story, a short story on that in just a second. If you'd like to learn more and you don't see it on this site or however you're watching it, if it's on YouTube or Blog Talk Radio, you're more than welcome to send an email to support@tonyduruso.com, and we'll connect you up with Mark. And I would like to let you know that when I first met Mark, he offered to give me a test, and I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't want anything free. I'm not that type of person. But Mark said, no, really, really try it. I don't mind. Just try it. So I sent a card to my wife. Now, you're all thinking, yeah, you go to the store and you buy a card or you do your e-cards. But let me just tell you for a second. I sent her a card. I thought it was silly because I'll buy a card. But I sent her a card and timed it so that it would arrive a couple days before our anniversary. We've been together 23 years, by the way. So I sent her this card and I was able to put in a photo of her and customize it and put in handwriting. It was an amazing process. So after a couple of weeks, when it was time for a couple of days before our anniversary, it comes in the mail and I give it to her. And she's going, what's this? Junk mail? I go, no, please just open it. Because she sees it's a letter from me to her, and it comes in the mail. So she opens it. And I got to tell you, watching her, my, you know, to just see all that emotion come up from her getting that card. She didn't get a present. She didn't get chocolates, didn't get flowers. She got a card. And it was amazing response. I just couldn't believe it. So highly recommend you check out this program, whether you want to use it for a business model or just use it to connect with your customers, connect with your clients, connect with your associates. Every business person out there, your business can only improve by communication. It can only do better by sending out a card. You'll never hurt your business. So I highly, highly, highly recommend you take a look at this because it's so fast and easy to do. And I did it. And I sent it to a couple other friends and they're like blown out that I did this. Mm-hmm. Yet it was just a card. It was just what it, you know, cost a buck or whatever. So I highly mm-hmm. recommend it. I don't know where else that information is, but if you can't find it anywhere on this site, just email at support@tonydurso.com. And again, Mark's website for the book is hangingoutforaliving.com. So I just want to let you know about that.
Yeah, and anybody that wants it, Tony, I'm happy to just personally walk them through a free account with Send Out Cards. I'm going to have them send a heartfelt card to somebody that they care about. That's a really important piece of getting how this thing works. Send that heartfelt card, and then at that point, you understand exactly the power of this thing and how it would apply to your business or your personal life. And I know it made a huge difference for me, and boy, I sure wish it was something that's why I joined the company. It was something I really wished I'd had back in those days when I was pounding the doors selling Yellow Pages advertising.
Well, you've got a nice gig going now. You've moved up the ranks, and your philosophy is so well balanced, serving others. It's sort of like the way the universe works in an ebb and flow movement. By sending out something positive, you're going to get something back in return. And you're focused, and I like that. You're focused on what can I do for you? That's your first and primary. And then, of course, something comes back to you, some business or referral, which is just awesome because so many times, I think too often, we see it the other way around. It's like, what are you going to do for me before I do anything for you sort of attitude? And that's not a long-term successful position.
Yeah, that's a dead-end position to take. And my philosophy is that in the world of referrals, in the world of networking, it's a garden. And we don't, you know, if you've ever grown a garden, when you go in, you don't serve a particular seed, you serve the garden. And if you just focus on one seed and ignore the rest of the garden, you're going to lose a huge potential harvest. And so the idea is that in the networking garden, we serve everybody. Not everybody is going to reciprocate. Some people physically, you know, just for whatever reason, some people simply can't because of timing, because of where their network's at. There's a number of reasons why somebody may not refer back to you. But if you serve the garden will give back to you, and it will give you a greater harvest than you can ever imagine. But you've got to serve the garden as a whole. So we treat everybody equally. When I hang out with somebody and I end up throwing business their way or I give them an opportunity, I don't have any sort of an expectation that they're going to return that because I know it's coming back to me. I don't know. By the way, I don't do soft science. I just know that this stuff really works and that when you treat everybody equally and you come from a place of just wanting to make the world a better place and leaving people better than they were before they met you, the universe has a pretty powerful way of giving right back to you, and you just never know where it's going to come from. So if you just live into that philosophy of making the world a better place and leaving everybody that you met with better than they were before they met you, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It is very much like a garden. But it does happen, and it happens in some of the strangest of ways.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know that sounds a little bit religious, but it is so, so true. That is the way success really, truly works. Tell me a little bit of, you mentioned it very briefly. You talk about it very much more in the book, The Gardening Philosophy. Expand on that, please.
Well, the gardening philosophy, well, it's like I just said. So, you know, when I was a little kid, I remember growing my very first garden, and I grew cantaloupes. I'm just, if you've never had a homegrown cantaloupe, oh my gosh, I mean, it's the best. And, but I remember the very first time I tried to grow cantaloupes, I didn't do a very good job. I dug a couple of holes and I put lots of soil and stuff inside the holes. And then I would stick one seed in one hole and one seed in the other, and I'd water it. And then several days later, you know, one seed popped up and it was immediately eaten by a bug or a bird or something. And the other one, you know, popped out of the ground and then it just shriveled up and died. And who knows why? So I repeated that process. I stuck a hole, stuck a seed in each one of those holes, and the exact same thing happened. One was, you know, it popped up and then something ate it, and then the other one never even came out of the ground. And out of frustration, I took that pack of seeds and I just poured half of it in one hole and half of it in the other and mixed it all up. And about 10 days later, there was a small carpet of seeds in each one of these holes. Well, the same thing happened. There was a several of the seeds sprouted, but they died. Some were eaten. Who knows what happened to the others? Some never came out of the ground. But you know what? In each one of those holes were three or four seeds that took root and started growing really large, to the point where I had to weed out the weakest ones so that the strongest stayed. And I ended up with more cantaloupe than I knew what to do with. I was giving them away to the neighbors. So that was my first gardening lesson, was to simply plant more than you intend to harvest. And you'll have a bigger harvest than you know what to do with. The other thing had to do with my gardening philosophy is just serving the garden, that I planted lots of things in the garden. I planted tomatoes. I planted zucchini. I planted eggplant and peppers, as well as melons. And I served that entire garden, and I didn't get emotional about which seeds grew and which ones didn't, or which plants produced more than others. And so the garden was a fantastic learning experience for me. So as I grew into the area of sales and marketing, which I don't really feel like I'm a sales and marketing guy. I really do feel like I'm the guy that hangs out for a living and just discovered a way of doing business that just turns out to work extraordinarily well and for me and for others as well. But I was able to take those lessons from the garden and then apply them to how I do business. And that is that I'm out to serve the entire garden, and I know that the garden is going to give me a harvest. I simply can't pay attention to which person is going to give me back. And by the way, that's an extraordinarily frustrating exercise. You know, you try joining a referral group of some kind, or you know, if you're out there and you're consciously giving business to people with the expectation that they are going to return that favor, you're going to become extremely frustrated and bitter, because it simply doesn't work that way. In fact, I honestly believe that if your intention is that you do this because you're going to get, you know, if you give business or you give referrals because you expect that in return, I think that just that expectation poisons the garden. You have to do it. You have to come from your heart and do it in a way that I'm out to serve, and you've got to trust that it comes back to you. So it doesn't happen overnight, but again, it does happen. You become the person that people want to do business with. I learned this just in networking, Tony. When I moved up here to Oregon, I joined an organization called the Portland Business Alliance, which is the downtown Portland Chamber of Commerce. And when I joined this organization, I knew that I wanted to come from a place of servitude. I wanted to contribute to this organization. So one of the first things that I did was I saw what committees were available that I could serve. I didn't want to be on a committee that was going to suck my time. I've got my own business to run. But I wanted to be on a committee that was going to allow me to do two things: make a difference and meet people that I could help. It was from that organization that I joined the President's Council. That's part of the Portland Business Alliance, which allowed me to mentor new members. When you're part of the President's Council, that means that you serve as an ambassador at various functions. And when I served as an ambassador, I'm, you know, part of my job as an ambassador is to make sure that people that are new to the organization or people who are guests at that particular function have the best experience possible. My job is to make sure that I'm introducing them to the right people, finding out, you know, you came here for a reason. You know, who did you want to meet? Some people very much show up with that attitude of, I came here to sell something, and I'm not going to beat up on them for showing up that way, but I'm going to suggest to them that They consider the possibility that there's not one single person in the room that's going to buy what they have, but everybody here knows two or three people that will buy what you have and have your conversations at that level. And by just serving an event like that, you know, you make a huge, huge difference, a huge positive difference within the organization. And so that's one of the ways that I've, you know, I found myself gardening, serving the garden, is by serving organizations in that way. So I strongly recommend if you're going to get out there networking and you show up at an event, show up, and this is, it's almost cliche now, but show up as a host rather than a guest. Pretend that it's your party. Seek out those people who look lost or lonely and find out how you can introduce them. Get to know the people that are running the event. They will introduce you around. Show up knowing who it is that you want to meet. Makes it really easy for people to introduce you rather than you showing up, well, I just want to meet anybody that'll buy my widget. That's not a good way to be. Know exactly who it is that you want to meet. When showing up at a networking event, you obviously we all have a product or service. If you're listening to this show, I assume you have a product or service that you're trying to sell. Consider who it is that your ideal client would be, and then who by nature of what they do would have a network of those people, and then seek those people out at that networking event. Not the people that are going to buy your service, but those people who by nature of what they do would have a network of those people. Start having your conversations at that level. And what happens is you find collaborative partners, people that you can add value to simply by nature of what it is that you do in the world. So I'm very big on helping other people be better at what they do by adding value to them.
Well said. And all of those points are in the book, very, very carefully laid out in the book, Hanging Out for a Living by Mark Herdering. You can get the book at hangingoutforaliving.com. I suggest you get the book and audio and see which one you like the best. Little tease there, little joke.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is very much very, very, very correct. You go with the attitude of helping and showing people and helping the person who's lost, et cetera, right out of the book. Well, that's very excellent, Mark. We're just about wrapping up here. Is there anything else you'd like to mention or say about sales,
yeah, Tony,
marketing, referral?
First thing, I want to just thank you so much for letting me be your first guest on your show. I've had a great time. And I'm going to let everybody know that I think they need to check out a pretty cool book that I've been reading called Easy Sales Procedures, because in that book is a bit of your journey as well. And but I'm really stuck on that piece that you covered in there, which is knowing what your purpose is. What is your outcome? And I really like the way you do that. And one of the ways I like to say it is that knowing your why. Because how you do things is nowhere near as important as knowing why you do them. And if you've got a strong enough why, the hows absolutely fall into place.
Well said. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much. You know, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on this show. I hope to have you back on again. And I thank you very much for the plug. We'll talk about that in a second on my book. It was great having this chat with you. Again, Mark's website is hangingoutforaliving.com. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you very much. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We are going to have Donovan Kovar, the CEO and Chief Strategist of 24/7 Sales Agency. Now, with an impressive list of clients, Donovan says there's much more to search engine optimization than just getting free traffic. If you have ever thrown money down the drain on wasted SEO optimization, lead generation, and other online sales efforts, you want to hear what's next as Donovan shares tips and strategies with us. That's on our next show of Revenue Chat. Again, I thank our guest here, Mark Herdering, author of Hanging Out for a Living. Go to hangingoutforaliving.com, check out his book. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. You can get the book at tonydurso.com. And if you want to read the first 30 pages of Easy Sales Procedures, send an email to support@tonydurso.com. Until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.